Good morning to you, white man.
Good morning to you, Daniel. Yes.
What happens when there's a curriculum day?
Children don't go to school. Well, it's actually not a curriculum day. It's a non-student day, I think they call it.
What?
Yeah, exactly. It's not a curriculum day, I was told specifically last night. So
PD day? PD?
It's something like that.
Teacher PD?
It's something like that. So
does that mean the boss stays home as well?
Who's the boss?
Who's the boss? Come on, man. We're fully aware of who the boss is.
I'm the boss. I'm going home.
Who's the boss?
So this is the first challenge of my family since Emma, my wife, has gone back to work.
What, is she at work today or is she at home?
She's going to work.
So teachers are required but no students.
Teachers are required but no students. So I've got to race home after the show and look after the three children.
After breakfast, of course.
Oh, I'm not sure it's going to be breakfast.
After breakfast, of course.
I did throw it out there that I might not be able to get home until about 10:30.
We can be there by 10. Mm. We can be there by 10.
So anyway, so that's me today. As you said, a lot going on. I was at the RSN Sandown Cup last night out at Sandown Park.
Stand by. I want to find out how you went, but Adam Ramanauskas wants to be involved in this conversation. He is a Bombers champion, and boy, are they under the pump at the moment. And boy, has he got some smoke coming out of his ears, the champ, these days managing to the stars. Rama, good morning.
Good morning. No smoke.
No, there's smoke. There is smoke.
No smoke. Who's the boss? That was a good show.
Well, great
show. That was a really good show.
Hold me closer.
Yeah.
Tony Danza.
Yeah. Curriculum days. Not sure they need curriculum days when they've probably missed about 2 years of school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Pupil free day.
That's what it is.
Pupil free day.
Very important to someone with SMS.
So it's in. Yeah.
Teachers development day.
Yeah, PD. Yeah.
Well, no.
Report writing day.
Yes, I think it's more that.
Report writing
that.
Day.
I think there's a bit of
still
that.
Still early in the term.
It's mid-May. We're 4 weeks into the term.
Again, I can talk from experience here because I'm in the know. This is a very short term because
I understand
so late. So the school holidays are only 4 or 5 weeks away.
Hopefully four. I'm going away.
Where you go?
Go away. All right, leave me alone.
You start pre-season 13th of June. No time.
I think you'll find it's five.
Five what?
Weeks away.
I think the high school kids have an extra week.
Three-weeker.
We get a three-weeker.
Yeah, right. But you can't. You got
delegation is the key to life.
You got a team to train.
That's all right. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Delegation is the key to life. We'll get back to that. Because pupil free days are very important off SMS and isn't for flu rampaging through schools.
Wow.
My word of this. Wow. My word of this.
There are some schools that have gone back to remote learning.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
This flu is serious.
No, half my footy team disappears every week because of this stupid bloody flu.
No immunity over the last couple of years to any sort of disease that's floating around. So. Copping it at the moment.
Under 15s, mate. We've been having all sorts of troubles putting teams together. Because once it gets into one school, all the kids go there.
Yeah.
And it's have a spell for a week.
Yeah.
Because they're knocked about. Because it's a bad one.
Yeah. Well, I've had one child at home all week.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've had my littlest one. He's been home most of the week.
I had one a couple of weeks ago. For all 4 days, and in bed for the whole 4 days, like sleeping for the whole 4 days.
Yeah, in the case at our house.
How good would that be?
Well, that'd be unbelievable. I really need this.
You know what?
I've been staying in close proximity.
I tell the wife, look, I'm just going to close the door for 4 days. Good luck. I'll see you next Tuesday.
It is one of those things, though, as I experienced a couple of weeks ago, you get that feeling where you want to get sick just so you can stay in bed all week. And then when you get sick, you go, this is no good.
This is the worst thing in the history of mankind.
No good.
Dying. Dying.
I was talking to my brother on the phone last night, and he stayed, his young fella and daughter, they've been a bit crook. But my eldest son, when he had COVID earlier in the year, he was crook for about sort of a day and a half. And he rang my brother up and he said, oh, Uncle Daniel, I think this is it. I don't think I'm going to make it. Like he's curled up in a ball.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
That's awesome. I think this is it.
This is it. He's 13 years old.
That's
my brother
fantastic.
Still laughs at it.
That is fantastic. I think this is it. I don't think we're going to make it.
But it is true. Like we, males, when they're That's sick, funny. They're just hopeless. Yeah, hopeless.
Man flu.
It's sort of end of world stuff. And the man to the left in the red hat over here, Whitey, when he gets sick, he goes way downhill.
He really...
He's in the really depths of disaster.
Embraces the situation.
I do tend to get unusual... occurrences.
A couple of years ago, you had a 5-week illness.
Firstly, I had pneumonia.
3 months.
And secondly, I got put on a plan to get back.
I'm not so sure about that.
Against my will.
Against my will.
But what's... You know what's still getting me? Hay fever. Oh, horrendous.
I think I'm over the hay fever hump.
Absolutely horrendous. I walked outside, my car's 20 metres from my front door, and I copped it again this morning.
Did you?
Is this the Breakfast Club or RPA all of a sudden?
Well, in fairness, when you go down, you do go down.
Yeah, you go hard.
Yeah, but
As a teacher once said to me, schools operate so much better without students off the SMS. Thank you for that. Bit of feedback coming through. Lads, I'll give you a Friday fill-up. Oh, people are sending in through SMSs. Race 6, number 2, Volatate at Cranbourne. Get on, let's go, says the Moo. Good luck to you, Moo. Race 6, number 2 tonight, Cranbourne. What else have we got? Thanks for the praise on getting through the week. Half. Couldn't have done it without a cup of coffee. Thoughts of beers and the chance that the Rama Ruffy will salute at Juicy Odds this week, says Kale. That's after 7 o'clock, Kale. Stay tuned. That's happening.
It's Kale with a K, too.
Hey.
Yeah, like the green food.
That's right.
Yeah. Not Kale with a C.
You know, I read something about kale the other day.
Kale hooker?
No. Kale, the food that you apparently eat.
What is it?
The biggest consumer of kale.
What is kale? Kale's like
a
green
leafy vegetable
thingy.
Sort of thing.
It's a superfood. That's what it is.
Pizza Hut were the biggest consumer of kale in the early sort of 90s. You know when you used to go to Pizza Hut and had the buffet?
All you can eat.
Yeah, all you can eat.
Yeah, no doubt I can.
Around all the food was all the kale, so no one ate it. But Pizza Hut just bought
but
a truckload of it. Yeah.
The garnish.
Yeah. So they were the biggest consumer of it. They didn't consume it, though. They use it as a decoration.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
Okay.
Now, I think we should give a quick update on the Premier League scores because they have early into the second halves and some critical games going on at the moment. So
yes.
Everton 1, Crystal Palace 2.
Ooh.
Aston Villa 1, Burnley 1, Chelsea 1, Leicester 1. So some very, very tight affairs going on as we speak.
So currently Everton would be 16th. Yes. They would be a point ahead on the current on the live ladder.
Live ladder we want.
We've got the live ladder.
Yep.
Everton will be 1 point ahead of the relegation zone because Burnley would be stuck on 35, which is what Leeds United are on. They're not playing today. No. So if that continues, Burnley, they'll get a point and go to 35, equal with Leeds United. In sort of equal 17th/18th. And 1 point ahead of them would be Everton if they lose this game 1-2. Or they lose the game full stop. So that would come down to, would mean there'd be 1 point between three teams going into the last game on Monday morning, our time. There you go.
And the problem is, in that final round, Everton have got to travel to Arsenal.
But, yes. So right. That game there, you're right, is...
So Leeds play at Brentford on a Monday morning. Now, Brentford are...
Mid-table,
yeah. So that's a possible one. That's a possible. And then who else do we need to... Burnley at home to Newcastle.
Whitey's very interested.
And Newcastle mid-table, a lot just under Brentford. So game on.
Well, the mention of Arsenal there for Whitey is very interesting.
What? Ah, yes. Okay, it's a Tottenham thing.
Yeah, of course, it's a Tottenham thing.
It's always a Tottenham
thing. He's got the
thing.
Jumper on this morning.
He does too. Curriculum Day jumper. Mm. Okay, so we'll keep abreast of those results. Remy, you're in charge of EPL results this morning.
I went back to AS Colour yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, another purchase. In fact, multiple purchases. I got the $150 deal.
Did you do... So the let's let our listeners in.
Yeah.
Your grey one that you've loved it. It's just it's a nice fit for you.
Yeah.
Nice high neck.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. But
it's got stains on it first wear.
So what did you buy another grey?
Or no, did you? I've gone with the black.
Yes.
My mum will kill me for that because she doesn't like black.
But the black's nice because it's got a different colour zip.
Yep, and I think it's versatile.
Yeah.
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 But I've got, you get two garments over $50, yeah, and then you get three garments under $50 for $150.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic.
And did you go to plain just jumper with the...
No, I went another hoodie.
Another hoodie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. You would like this place. I can take you there Monday after the show.
Well, I'm not sure.
If you don't mind. Huh? I don't want to go shopping with you.
That's not very nice. I'm an in-out man.
No, I'm all for that system.
Yeah.
Two
bales shopping together does look a little odd. It just looks a bit odd.
Imagine Whitey and I rocking up.
Arm in arm.
I went outside.
Come on, Daniel.
That looks
beautiful on you.
Shopping together. I think we get some funny looks. Craig's in Mount Martha. He's got a big announcement for us. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, boys. And I thought I'd better change it up a little bit because talking COVID earlier on and in illnesses, I hope everyone gets well with all this going on, and talking Bay Maries and then talking soccer. Well, my announcement is Group 1 Daniel, Goodwood Handicap, tomorrow, Al Vorson, heading over, keeping a lid on it. Andrew Mallion's coming down for the ride. He's actually, and, you know, I just think it's great that he's wearing Rodney Griffiths's, the late Rodney Griffiths' jodhpurs to commemorate his passing. And, we're really, really looking forward to it. And I just thought I'd let you know, one of your favourite listeners has got a horse in the Group 1 tomorrow.
No, that is very, very exciting.
Self-appointed favourite listener.
Well, no, he's one of my favourites. Yeah, absolutely, Craig is. Always has been. That's a gimme. That's very, very exciting. Now, what we know about your horse, the Magnificent Hal Vorson, is that he loves the straight track at headquarters. And my understanding is the good ones that run around a straight track. How are we going to go?
Daniel, but what you have to consider is he's two runs back. He ran at the Valley and come second in the William Reid to... in the Group 1. So, you know, he's not one-dimensional, I can tell you that. He's won at Caulfield, he's won at the Valley, he's won around the corner numerous times, and he's back to his best, I feel. And, you know, you've got to be in there to have a go at it. And he's more often than not, he's surprised a lot of the punters out there, let me tell you. So we're going in with fingers crossed.
I couldn't be more jealous of you if I tried. At the moment, $26 in the early markets at tab.com.au, $7 the place if you want to play that game for number 9. Hal Vorson gets a good barrier. And number 2 there yet tomorrow at Morfordville for the Goodwood. Couldn't wish you more luck, Craig.
Daniel, and I've got to tell you, there's no Home Affairs, no Nature Strips, no Eduardo's, no In the Boat. Sorry to hear that, Dino. And but look, you know, you could throw a blanket over them. So, it'll be really interesting. So, Andrew just coming down for the one ride. So there we go.
Right, just the one ride. It's very comprehensive.
This is a racing pulse type interview. This.
Well, that's what they'll be talking about a little bit later on.
We might clip that up and let Michael play that a little bit later on.
Good luck to you, Craig. It's a very exciting thing. Well done. Craig from Mount Martha with the runner tomorrow in the Goodwood Hal Vorson, who's well known to the racing fans around these parts.
So last night, I went to Sandown Park.
Yes, there we go. We'll get back to that. Good.
Yeah, and because it was a great night, there was some really good racing. And the winner of the RSN Sandown Cup was a dog by the name of Untapped.
Was.
At around about sort of
$4.80 in the fixed market. Yeah, $5.50 the tote.
A great story. A sort of a young trainer sort of trying to make his mark, and it was quite emotional at the presentation because he lost his dad late last year, unfortunately, and he just talked about how proud his dad would be if he was there to watch what unfolded last night. But it was a terrific race, a terrific atmosphere, and it's well worth going. And it was
buffet.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because...
it's important.
I just want to mention that the other dog, there might be a new superstar. We just sort of consolidated herself as a real superstar called Wow She's Fast.
Oh, Wow She's Fast is really fast.
Yeah, and...
It's a good name.
Raced accordingly last night. It was quite incredible to watch. It was sort of won by about 10 lengths, maybe.
Sapphire Crown Final.
But just absolutely destroyed the field. But well-named... Fair to say.
wonder what stage you name the dog while she's fast. Because if you've got to name a dog while she's fast, she sort of really needs to be, doesn't she?
So anyway, back to the...
So Zinman Bale won the RSN Racing Pulse for $5.95 on the last night. And then the Gypsy Yankee won the RSN Central. I'm just trying to find the Breakfast Club.
That's next week. They were heats. The final next week is the Breakfast Club.
Just trying to find the Breakfast Club race.
Anyway, so Rama asked about the buffet situation. There was no buffet last night, which I was concerned about.
This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
25 past 6 on a Friday morning. Steve-O's not too far away with all the latest news in footy. We're building up to round 10 of the AFL. Kicks off tonight Carlton and Sydney at Marvel Stadium. Boomer Harvey's going to help us navigate through the round a little bit later on the Friday footy preview, around about 7:40 this morning. Dino and Quinny on the Friday form from 7 o'clock as well. The early mail not too far away. Whitey was on the buffet last night.
Well, it was described as street food.
Oh, yeah, that's not your guy.
So I thought there may have been like food trucks and stuff like that, but it was that sort of fare. But it was sort of all presented where you go up and you take a plate or you take a tray and you sort of
a tray
take what you want and bring it back to your table. But the problem with that situation is that when you go up there, and you might take there was some really nice little mini roast beef rolls or little sliders and those sorts of things. So you sort of put them on your plate and then you sort of have to walk back to your table. Once you start going back for the sort of the second and third time, it's almost like that walk of shame because you sort of...
Well, the third time, I imagine, would be shameful.
You're just mindful of the fact that there's people that are sitting there watching it. Geez, look at that bloke. I reckon he's been three or four times.
Yeah.
You know, like it's almost like when you go to the pokies or go to the casino, the walk of shame to the ATM. You know, it's just a bad walk. There's nothing positive about the walk to the ATM.
The third one is no good.
No. In fairness, the plates were quite small.
Well, you took a tray.
There's little sort of bamboo-type tray numbers, you know, those sort of things.
Did you mound the plate up?
Well, not really, but I reckon if I had my time again, I would have because...
Oh, you're taking two plates to start with?
Geez, I reckon I've been up three or four times here, and I was being quite selective in what I was taking. Mm. But then you start to think, oh, geez, look at that bloke. I reckon he's been three or four times minimum.
So what was the best dish?
No, the roast beef rolls were delicious. And then there was like a sweets type thing as well, where you could get sort of, you know, the macarons and the sort of biscuits and donuts and all that sort of stuff.
How did you go there?
Well, I'm on a regime.
On a regime, you wouldn't have
any. Well, that's what I was going to ask. Where does this all fit?
Well, it's just about portion control.
Right. So, but you went up there three, four times?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Right. So you only just
having... Then I started to get other people go up for me. I wasn't going to continue that walk of shame.
You didn't... You weren't hanging out with Mr. Kang last night, were you?
Mr. Kang?
Well, food live streamer known only as Mr. Kang was banned from a seafood buffet in China after he made a few binge-eating visits to the restaurant. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet. According to Kang, he ate about 8 pounds of prawns on one visit and about 3 pounds of pig's feet on another. He says he also drinks 20 to 30 bottles of soy milk on some visits. Kang says the restaurant is discriminating against people who eat a lot. You weren't hanging out with Kang last night, were you?
No, I was hanging out with Scott Cooney.
So. Oh, the coon dog!
Coon dog.
He did something very unusual last night.
Well, there's a surprise.
I've not seen before. He filmed the band. So there was a band there that played sort of late in the night. He filmed the band.
What do you do that for?
I asked him that question. He said, oh, I reckon they go really well. I really like this song. He sat there. He filmed the set.
The whole set?
Yeah.
For how long was he filming?
Well, minimum half an hour.
Oh, coon dog.
I said, what are you doing, mate?
Hang on.
So what was his response to that?
He said, oh, he really liked the song. And then he said, oh, this is quite tone. He just sort of, the problem was he was sort of just bopping along in his seat. So clearly the screen was sort of going up and down as well. Now, he may have just been filming for the audio as opposed to the vision as well, but this was very unusual.
So he would have missed three or four races.
Well, he said he had his last leg of his multi in the last race, so he's sort of waiting for the last, which because of race 12. Yeah. So he just sat there in the dark, pretty much, just filming the set.
That's an unusual thing.
I thought
Thursday
that was
night.
Unusual. I thought that was unusual.
Coon dog.
What was the crowd like there last night?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I was talking to a few people there last night that it's not normal yet, but it's like everywhere. It's not quite normal, but it felt normalish to be able to go to an event like that. You know, you're not seeing masks anywhere. You're seeing quite a fair bit of sort of, you know, colour and atmosphere. As is often the case at Sandown Park, most of the action is up inside. Mm. But, you know, it was a fairly good crowd.
Very good.
I think they felt that it was more than they thought they'd get. So that's, you know, that's positive.
Butsy says off the SMS, regime or no regime, Whitey, you're still allowed to eat. Go hard, brother.
It's portion control.
Portion control.
Mm, that's what I'm really focusing on in the first element.
Which trip to the buffet did that start to kick in, that thought?
No, I wasn't putting much on the plate, Daniel.
Portion control.
Someone... And you got his extra points for the extra walking as well.
Extra steps up.
Hey, someone I do fear for a little bit.
Speak.
Scotty Gullen.
What's Scotty Gullen done?
Well, on Fridays he was putting a column together called On Notice.
Right.
Now, page 87 of the Herald Sun today.
Yeah.
What I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, there's no more picture of Scotty Gullen.
Oh, no.
There's no claim on who is writing this article anymore.
Well, maybe he's had some feedback.
What do you think?
Maybe he's had some feedback. Yeah. There's now a target on his head. So our friends at News Limited, Rupert's people, have decided that that's an unsafe workplace for Scotty to have his name associated with the On Notice column.
Mm.
And they've taken it off. Or he's going like a bastard and they've got staff writers to help out. No, it'll be the former. He'll be on hit list now. And he's in hiding. He's in witness protection.
Witness protection.
Witness protection he is now.
So, Scotty, if you're listening today, please give us a call. Just let us know you're okay.
Goodness me. EPL update, please, Rammer. There's been an incident. I need you to give me what's going on there.
Ooh. Okay. So, 85th minute.
Yeah.
Everton 3, Crystal Palace 2. Both other games are still 1-1. Aston Villa, Burnley 1-1. Chelsea, Leicester 1-1.
So that puts Everton 2 points clear of the relegation zone, if that is the case. No. Did you just say 3-2?
3-2, Everton.
Well, they'll be up another one. That's 2-2. So they'll be up 4 points clear.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Which will be enough.
That'll be enough. Which means the last weekend's pretty boring. Except, of course, for your people.
Mm. I promised the golf. I wanted to go through the golf scores because a fairly big story is developing. Oh, it's probably a bit strong to say that.
Is Cody Simpson playing golf this week?
Well, there's a story on that too.
Yeah, well,
Rory McIlroy is the leader. So he's 5 under through his first round. He's in the clubhouse. Played this morning. He hit 2 drives, 370 yards in his first round.
Righto.
370 yards.
Was he playing with a new Callaway driver, was he?
I'm not sure what he was playing with.
Got the trampoline face.
So he is
jailbreak
the leader.
Technology.
Will Zalatoris is at 4 under.
He's a good major player, Will Zalatoris.
He is. He does seem to only play well in majors. Yeah. He sort of feels that way anyway. Of the other big names sort of on the leaderboard, Schauffele 2 under finished. Cam Smith, Australia's Cam Smith, finished at 2 under. Justin Thomas is 2 under through 7. Scotty Scheffler 2 under through 5. My man John Rahm is 1 under through 5. It's Matt Fitzpatrick 1 under through 4. Lucas Herbert 1 under through a few holes. Unfortunately, Tiger Woods didn't go so well.
What happened to the Tigger?
Tiger shot 4 over. Birdied his first. He played this morning, but unfortunately finished 4 over and did say after his round that he's battling a bit.
He's going to pull out, isn't he?
No, I don't know about that.
Loses
Mark Leishman 2 over. Just looking through some of the scores here. It was interesting. John Daly was leading after about the first couple of hours. He was 2 under early on.
Would have been the only one on course.
Yeah, a bit like that. Matt Jones 3 over. He's finished as well for the round. Brooks Koepka, he's not going too good. So that's a bit about what's going on at the moment.
Adam Scott even through 8. Jason Day even through 6.
No, they had the other 2. Didn't see those.
From an Australian perspective. So we'll see how they go through the rest of the morning. We'll keep you up to date with that. But a nice start by Rory, the racing car, 5 under in the first round.
That's a good song, that.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good show.
It is a good show.
Yeah, I used to like Rory the racing car. That was good when the kids were doing that sort of stuff.
It's a good show.
Not a great day for Pardedec Harrington. It's just a 7 over for him. That's not fantastic.
No, it's not too good at all. Now, in the swimming last night.
Yes.
Quite remarkable. Two things happened that are quite remarkable. Firstly, Zach Stubblety-Cook.
Yes.
Broke the world record. Now,
in the 200 breaststroke.
He came onto the scene, burst onto the scene last year by winning a gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics.
Olympic champion, Zach Stubblety-Cook.
So he's got a hard name to pronounce or hard name to say, and he swims in the hardest event in a lot of ways, the breaststroke. It's not usually...
Breaststroke? What are you talking about?
It's technical. It's very technical.
It's not the hardest event. Butterfly.
Butterfly would be the hardest event.
Yeah.
But breaststroke is technical.
Side stroke's harder than breaststroke.
We don't do side stroke at the Olympics anymore.
You should. I'd be good at that.
They used to. Come on. I think they used to.
When you're tired in the water, like swimming all day, what stroke do you go to usually?
Side stroke. Doggy paddle.
You go to breaststroke.
No one does doggy paddle.
Anyway, he's broken the world record, which is really good. Ahead of what's a big year, obviously, with the Commonwealth Games and the World Championships. The other interesting story is that Kyle Chalmers... Now, we were sort of talking yesterday about the great news with Cody Simpson set to represent Australia at both the World Championships and the Commonwealth Games this year because he finished third in his race. Now, usually it's the top two that go through, but because Kyle Chalmers had said, well, I'm not going to participate in that event, even though I finished second, which would mean that Simpson would race... But after another good day in the pool last night, Kyle Chalmers decided, gee, I'm going that well. I might actually now compete in the race that I wasn't going to, which would mean that Cody would push out.
So he ruled himself out of the world titles to save himself for the Commonwealth
Games. Yeah,
the story with Kyle. But the fact that, well, one of the things that's annoying him is that Cody's getting a lot of coverage.
It seems to be that way.
And his mate Matt Temple, who won the race... got zero coverage, and he says there's no attention or hype around him, which is, for me, what I struggle with the most. It's great, there's all eyes on Cody, but the eyes deserve to be on Matt Temple. He's an Olympic finalist. Last year, he was in those relays carrying us to bronze medals, and he's the Australian record holder. He's the one that deserves the attention and the eyes on him. Now, I would say this to you, Kyle.
Interesting.
Any eyes on swimming at the moment is a good thing.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Just enjoy the fact that people are talking about this and embracing the Australian Swim Championships like they are.
A bit of jealousy there.
You need
Kyle.
To have a bit of personality and spice in it, which is what is happening.
It's a story.
That's right.
It's a story.
Got to have stories.
We look for stories in sport all the time.
We discussed this yesterday. What were we talking about yesterday? Talking about stories. Oh, Matty Stewart with the Greyhounds, with the dogs last night, the RSN Sandown Cup.
Both those dogs ran well, actually. I think they ran third and fourth.
Certainly third.
Yeah, third and fourth or third and fifth.
Maybe third and fifth. You need stories. You need people making news and events. Because it's a congested landscape.
Yeah, so you're saying that Kyle should just swim in his lane.
I like what you did there. Mm. I really like what you did there. That's
really?
No, I do.
Oh, come on.
No, that's
come
good.
On.
That, although stay in your lane would have been better, but swimming in his lane, it's okay. We understand. No, it's good. That was bloody good from you.
But if he stay in his lane, it could have been driving a car.
No, but well, it doesn't matter.
Swimming his lane.
Well, everyone knows when he's staying in his lane.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about swimming, it would have been acceptable. I think you've overthought that. But our man made a good gag and we should appreciate it.
Yeah, we should. That's rare.
It's a couple of times a year.
Yeah.
What are we, mate? You just
see the screen?
Quarter of the way through.
See the screen says break in really big letters because our producer wants to actually come into the studio
and
talk.
Because he wants to talk. That's right. We might just drag this out for a little bit so we eat into his time.
Right.
He gets upset, the big fella. And he's a really big lover of the excitement stick.
I'm all for that. I'm an overuser.
Six or seven every time
I'm
an
overuser of the excitement stick.
Very, very...
surprisingly.
It's a bit disturbing and disconcerting, even. He needs to stay in his lane. Kyle Chalmers style. And in the back of your mind, I know you should be home with me. Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? I do. Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? Oh, yeah? Don't you? Maybe. Just don't tell my wife. That would be a bad thing. Now, 19 to 7 on a Friday morning. Nice to have your company wherever you are listening. And now this is the Pussycat Dolls. You'd be a Pussycat Dollman. Mark Stevens, good morning.
I am. I named my daughter Josie after Josie and the Pussycats. So different band, but similar.
So they're
still a Pussycat.
So, hang on a sec. Say that again.
Well, Pussycat Dolls. I like the Pussycat Dolls. But I named my daughter Josie after Josie and the Pussycats. You know, the band that was a cartoon. Yeah, band.
They're not real. They're not real. Just keep her up a little bit. Yeah, it's good. That's nice.
No.
So
it's still Pussycat action.
But I asked you about the Pussycat Dolls and you took it to Josie and the Pussycats.
No, well, it was just a,
You came in and just took us off track straight away.
Sorry.
Straight away.
Before Steve-O continues and this segment continues, I think it's quite exciting. Lucas Herbert's just got the 3-under.
Oh.
Just drained a long putt.
Really?
Yes. My mate Billy Hewitt. Off the lead.
He's very excited. My mate Billy, who's his social media expert.
What?
We'll get to that another day.
Right, so we're playing this song, and not because anyone from the Pussycat Dolls is having a birthday, but Busta Rhymes does a little rap in the middle of this song.
Busta Rhymes?
This is...
Who's Busta Rhymes?
Busta Rhymes is a US singer and rapper. Here you go. This is Busta. Straight to it, a broad one watching. When I come through, it's the God Almighty looking all brand new. Shorty want to jump in my ass, then bang Jewish. Looking at me all like you really want. Yeah, Busta. The wish. Here we go. Loves it. Getting a lingerie on. That's what Busta does. Now, Busta's having a birthday today. He's a US rapper and singer. He featured on this song. It was a number one hit for the Pussycat Dolls in 2005. 2005, Rammer. 17 years ago, that song. I wouldn't have picked that. I need to know from you, Rammer, how old is Busta Rhymes, who doesn't go by Trevor Smith Jr. anymore. He goes for Busta Rhymes. How old's Busta, my man?
Is he one of those old sort of rappers, or...?
Oh, no.
50. I'll go 50 Cent.
Right, 50 for you.
Buster's looking like a bastard these days, so I reckon 55.
55 for Steve-O. How old is M-M Buster?
I'm going with 43.
43. One of you is in the window. One of you is absolutely in the window. In fact, spot on. Busta Rhymes today is 50. Rammer! Great work. Great work.
He was declaring that he's on that phone again.
No, I sit next to him. I will not accept any cheating.
How did he know that he was right?
Because I saw his table. He's watching the table. Right?
What do you mean?
He didn't know he was right.
You're putting your finger in the air
because
like Jonathan Brown.
Because it's often.
Trust me, I see his phone.
Everton have survived.
That's what he was looking at.
3-2.
So they won, so they're 4 points clear of the relegation zone. Mm. Takes a bit of the jam out of the last weekend donut. Mm. From the EPL. So well done to Everton 3-2 this morning. They will survive. Like, who sings that song?
Gloria Gaynor.
Gloria Gaynor, that's right. That's who it is. Steve A, you're here with us. You've survived so far in your job.
Yeah, it's Freaky Friday, isn't it? But are we starting my segment yet, or are we still going with the birthdays?
Well, I've got to give you the rest of the birthdays. Yep. Mark Winterbottom's having a birthday today. He's 41. Who else have we got? Robert Dahl. He's
the mayor.
Well, former mayor. 69. Stirling Mortlock, Wallaby legend, and Melbourne Rebel for a time too. He's 45 today. Alison Langdon, is she on the telly today?
We're not sure because we're watching the golf.
Oh, that's true. She's 43 today. Who else we got? Mel Walden, 79 today. He can't say phenomenon. He doesn't like that word. And Brian Dixon, five-time Melbourne Premiership player, having a birthday today too, who's 86. Happy birthday to all of those people, and thoughts and prayers to the family of Joe Cocker. Who was born on this day in 1944, passed away 8 years ago, Steve-O.
Mm, thoughts and prayers for sure. Now, it is Freaky Friday, isn't it? Now, I've done some research quickly out the back. Scotty Cooney was raving about. I found the band. They're called the Rustic Sons, and they were in their best sort of efforts last night. Take a listen, a bit of Boys of Summer action.
They turn their microphones on at any stage?
I'm not sure I'd be worrying about video.
Did the Coondogs sing you this?
Coondogs.
I went to the...
Is that what the Coondogs sent you?
No. I Googled. I found out the Rustic Dogs were on...
They were very... I will say, they were very good. They were very good.
Not quite Don Henley, but...
What time were you there to last night, Whitey? You say the end?
I wasn't going to, but I actually almost did.
You almost did or you did?
10 o'clock, I think.
I know.
No, he didn't send that, but yeah, I did some research. So get around them. I think they're quite good. Don Henley not under threat, but the chorus was
your segment or the birthday segment.
Molly Meltram.
what's happening here?
Straightening up and getting back to footy. Look, today is a massive day, Half. Obviously, we've had the commission meeting where the women's footy deal was done. At that same meeting, we believe the decision was made on the time of the grand final. Obviously, there's two options, 2:30, which is traditional, or the 4:30 to 4:40. Now, all my intelligence and mail are suggesting that we're heading into the twilight zone, Half, and that's likely to be announced today.
Right.
Come on, Steve-O. They put it out a couple of days ago. They test the temperature of the room, and then they go and announce it today. There hasn't been too much backlash from people saying, no, don't worry about it.
We've been conditioned to change.
It's
so you're
great.
Happy with the twilight?
Is what it is. Just keep moving with the times.
But 5 years ago, we'd been up in arms.
What does that mean?
What's that?
Moving with the times.
Just try it. We've never had a twilight grand final at the MCG. We don't know what it's going to be like.
But I think the grand final's too important for a trial or a test run.
Well, we trialled it at the Gabba and it was good. We trialled it at the Perth Stadium and it was fine. Just get on with it.
Whitey is a traditional man.
I am too. I love the traditions of football. Yes. We just get on with it.
I'm actually ready for it, and I think it'll happen.
I think that's
more
a very dangerous thing to be saying.
Why?
Just be disrespectful to what the fans want.
Yeah, but what does the game need at the moment?
Well, that's a different argument. So the fans want it in the afternoon.
Is the game going to have any effect? The time of the game going to have any effect on the two teams?
No, I'm saying is the fans want it in the afternoon for commercial reasons.
The fans,
the later the better.
Yeah.
Mm. So, but there is a different conversation.
I think at 4:30 at least you can go out rammer afterwards. You don't want a 10:30 finish.
No, I agree. Not a night time. Not a 7:30 start.
Yep. But my theory on the way the AFL organises is the fact there's been zero leaks since the decision means that there's some change coming. Yeah. If it was staying as it was, they would have released that. Correct. They didn't want to take the shine off the AFLW, so they've waited a day. And this is part of Gill's legacy. I think we'll have the Twilight Grand Final. As I said, I think 5 years ago we'd be shocked. We're conditioned to
you
change.
You can always change it back, Whitey. It's okay.
Well, the last 2 years have given them a chance to do pretty much whatever they like.
Mm. That's exactly right.
Is what's happened. And if you're going to have a situation where it's at another time and not 2:30, 4:30 is much better than 7:30. What they would be bending towards.
A compromise.
Yeah, I've been on my record saying lots of times 2:30 is the perfect slot. I reckon for it, it's perfect. But 4:30, we'll give it a go.
In your lead up, the way you do your lunch or your hot dogs or what do you do grand final?
Just adds hours.
Cocktail Savaloys, all that sort of thing.
Opens up a few more opportunities for cashies. There's another 2 hours worth of cashies you can squeeze in somewhere. That's not a bad result.
Well, I imagine now that people, if it is 4:30, that you might be able to extend the lunch events, the functions that can go on around the ground, inner city, all that type of stuff. So
just push them back. Breakfast becomes brunch. Lunch becomes afternoon tea.
So the North Melbourne breakfast might now start at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, Rammer's involved with TLA that does a lot of work around the September Club. Of course he wants it. It's the corporate side.
Well, but the September Club, it's reduced hours because normally after the 2:30 start, that's when people go back and do their corporate dining and hospitality.
Might but start earlier now.
Starting at 4:30. Well, that's maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe you're right.
And so I think that will happen.
It's been coming, hasn't it?
Look, it has. And as I said, we're conditioned.
Like it or not, it's been coming.
Give it a go.
But in the last 2 years,
when Rammer says we can always go back, I think it's a more important decision than that. Once you've gone there, it's hard to go back again.
No, if it turns out to be horrendous. You can't be sitting there going, we've made a blue, we'll just keep it. You're allowed to make a mistake and acknowledge it and move it back and reset it if you need to.
Whitey is dead against it. That's okay. But that's why it's a great pub conversation. Sitting around talking, well, why do you like it at 2:30? Yeah, why do you like it at 4:30?
I'm not that hung up about it. But I'm just saying is that they do the questionnaires or the surveys and the fans say they want it in the afternoon and they don't have it in the afternoon. Mm. And again, I understand why they want it later, but I'm just saying it's hard to be the fans' game when you don't actually give what the fans want. That's all.
But Yeah, that's a big conversation, that one.
Essendon in the news again.
What have they done this
time?
Well,
Ben Rutten's gone to the board and said that, which is interesting that this one sort of leaked out from the club as well. They've confirmed it went to the board and said, we're going to change the way we're playing. We're just going to go back to basics. We're going to throw out the game plan that we've been going with. So that's strange messaging sort of 10 weeks into the season.
Well, no, not really.
Well, like we were just saying, if something's not working, you've got to change it.
You're correct.
Well, you're allowed to do that. I think it's...
like, you can't flog a dead horse.
It's clearly not ideal, but it's not. It's almost courageous. Because otherwise, if you continue on with expecting different results, you're a madman. We know that's the theory. But if you can see that there is an opportunity to get things back on track by simplifying it or stripping it back a bit, and you've got the courage to do that and tell your players that that's going to happen, I say all credit to him. Must admit.
So it'll be a simpler Bombers in the dream time. The other story for me, it's a bit of a sleeper today. Jaden Stevenson, where's his career at?
Five-year deal at
the Kangaroos. Significant five-year deal. Former rising star. I just remember late in the first quarter, 2018, he's running through the 50, kicking goals. We're thinking, how good's this guy? Collingwood are five goals up. It's gone pretty much south half. You can't get a game at North Melbourne.
No, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign when the team is 17th on the table.
Can he not get a game for North Melbourne because of how he's playing or the fact that he won't play the way they want him to play? Or is it both?
Well, hard to tell. We don't know how they want him to play, but regardless, it's a bad outcome.
Well, just at times, I just think, to be honest, Ramo, if you're watching, and it's easy from the outer, he hasn't gone hard enough at the pill or the contest.
He certainly hasn't had the impact that they would have.
He's lost his confidence.
Hoped.
So when you look at North's recruiting, you know it's a tough one. They put a lot of investment in 5 years, another 3 years after this one, Whitey.
A text here from John. Ramon, that's why people are not going to the football. The game times are being set for TV, not for people to attend, especially country people who find it nearly impossible to attend without not adding a night's accommodation to the cost. That's from John. Yep. That's just a text without comment.
And just quickly, the revival of Mason Cox. He's back, Ramo, your old mate, Mason Cox.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how he goes.
He'll play as a ruckman, I think.
You think that his days as a forward are over?
I think you'll see him more in the ruck. In the reserves over the last couple of weeks, he's played predominantly as a ruckman, so I think that will be the rejuvenation.
Good to see. I'm loving his media work. His podcast, I think he's got a big future off the park, Mason Cox, one of the good guys in footy.
Another text here, just another case of the AFL treating the fans with contempt. It's the grand final day. You put it on at 7 a.m, you'll get the same numbers. That's from Dan from Doreen. I think 7 a.m. is probably a little bit early for a day game.
Well, that's not right. So the last grand final in Melbourne, 2 million viewers watched. Okay? Last year's grand final, 3 million viewers watched. A million viewers is a big difference. A big difference.
Just reading the text.
And I'm giving an answer.
Seems to be a selective text.
I'm giving. You don't want to listen to the answer.
Seems to be selective.
Time for the early mail.
Can we get an early mail
winner,
please?
In the ears. Trent's winding me up.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do.
Breakfast Club.
Brent Harvey just about to join us, but I want to get a golf update because Lucas Herbert was 3 under through 5 and he was on the coverage, which must mean he's going well.
He was. He's still thereabouts. He's 2 under through 7 holes. He's playing the back 9 first. So it's fair to say that Rory McIlroy, who leads at 5 under, I don't know whether he's going to be caught today. The wind's got up a little bit, so the big name players are sort of... they're thereabouts. None of them are really catching fire. Scotty Scheffler's thereabouts. Colin Morikawa, thereabouts. John Rahm, thereabouts. Jason Day, again, thereabouts. But all sort of between 1, 2 under and 1 over. That's where the big names are on the course at the moment.
All right, let's get to the Friday Footy Preview. Brent Harvey about to join us.
The Footy Preview with Boomer Harvey from Greyhound Racing Victoria. Victorian Greyhound Racing has never been so accessible. Every Victorian Greyhound race is live and free with Greyhound Racing Victoria's watchdog app and website.
Love the champ on a Friday morning. The AFL Games record holder is with us again. Good morning, Boomer.
Good morning, boys. And it happened this morning.
What happened?
I came in here after 5.5 years and I got my fingerprint and walked straight through the door.
Did you?
Amazing scenes.
Well done.
Absolutely. I was so thrilled. Didn't have to bother Steve-O. couldn't hear me through all the soundproof glass.
He wouldn't hear you anyway. So you lucky awareness.
I might have to apologise for my... I'm a little bit croaky, a little bit sniffly this morning.
Oh, I haven't got the...
No, I haven't got it. I don't think I have. I feel great, like normal. But but I have got a little bit of a croaky voice, so I do apologise in advance.
Well, it's a dangerous flu going around. Has it hit the Kangas, the flu, the nasty one? That's
No, I don't think it has. We're just not playing great. So we haven't got the flu, no, Daniel.
You need to say that you've got the flu, and you've had it for like 3 years.
Well, not 3 years. Oh, yeah, maybe 3 years. 2 years.
Can you tell us anything? There's a Hall of Fame dinner coming up. I saw an article yesterday. It'd be in the paper. Was it yesterday or Wednesday? Mm. Anyway, recent times.
Through the week.
Where I saw your photo. You are eligible for the Hall of Fame this year, the Australian Football Hall of Fame, Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder. Have you had a phone call, email, communications from Richard Gorder and co?
No, I haven't had a phone call.
It's such a lie! Such a lie!
This is a no-win situation.
You are amongst friends here.
Well, in fairness, being the game's record holder, he wouldn't get a phone call. He'd get a knock on the door.
Richard should just rock up.
Yeah.
Look
how they do it in the NFL. That real big guy knocks on the door.
The real big guy.
He's huge, this bloke.
Well, one bloke walks around.
He's a professional door knocker.
He goes, so they induct how many they induct every year, but he goes to the individuals' houses and, or if they're in a hotel room or whatever, and knocks on the door and says, "Congratulations."
Wow.
Is that right? Yeah.
I didn't get that.
Get a red book. This is your life sort of thing.
Very trendy. Very trendy. When that day does occur, Boomer. When that day does occur, have you thought about that, perhaps?
No, I haven't. I actually didn't even know. It's 5 years, isn't it? I've been out.
Well, if you're eligible,
years,
it must be, yeah.
I did get a little text message from one of my mates. I don't read the paper very often, but I did get a text message from one of my mates saying that there was a little poll and am I in? But I gave him nothing as well. So, I haven't. I haven't really thought about it. I think it would be pretty cool to be in the Hall of Fame. There's some bloody good names in there. It would be nice to be in that calibre of people, for sure.
What's scary is that it has been 5 years since you've played.
I know.
Because we're talking about this, I think, over breakfast, that Jimmy Bartel is in the same bracket as yourself.
Yeah,
you've retired in the same
16,
year.
Yep.
And I think, in a way, both of you could probably still play now. You certainly think you could play now.
Boomer's been campaigning for 5 years to still play.
I've given up this year.
Don't ever give up.
I remember having conversations with both of you, you know, around the time of the retirement. I think, you know, under different circumstances, both you and Jimmy would have played again. The 5 years has gone since.
What do they call it in America? They call it first ballot Hall of Famers. So yourself, Jimmy Bartel, who were the others in 2016?
The message, I think Pavlich might have been.
Yeah, Pavlich.
Might have been one.
Yeah.
Swan, was Dane Swan around the same?
Oh,
I reckon he was on my text message the other day as well from one of my mates.
Yeah, I reckon he was. It's a pretty good crop, the 2016
Enright, Corey Enright, is he?
Yeah, I reckon he's there too.
As well. Yeah, he's
a good little crew there,
Boris
isn't
is
there?
In.
Now, if I had my way, Boomer, you wouldn't be in for another 10 years.
Thank you, Daniel. Why? I appreciate that.
Because I think there should be a 15-year window.
Ooh.
15 years?
Yeah. Lots of players have gone through
the journey. I'm 100% with Daniel.
I think 10. 10's enough.
Well, we can talk about the semantics of it. But 5 years, it's very, very recent. Like, he can still play local footy. He doesn't need to be acknowledged as a Hall of Famer just yet. Now, he will be, and he should be, and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not taking that away by any stage. But I just think there's heaps of players that we forget through the journey that we might get to when they're, you know, 85, 90. Yeah. Why can't they enjoy that when they're 50 or 60?
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, particularly the significance of the leagues, the SANFL and the WAFL.
Yeah.
When the VFL was only going around. So there's so many, like, you listen on Hall of Fame night of the guys from those leagues that are inducted, and their records and their contribution to the game is simply amazing.
Yeah. It takes out a bit of recency bias as well.
Yes.
Correct. It's almost like when someone like Boomer qualifies, like, we've got to get him now, as opposed to take a little bit of extra time. And then I think it's more, I mean, you'll clearly get in because of what you've done, Boomer, but it's more of a better acknowledgement with a bit more time as to who actually does deserve to get in.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't like the ones that get in at 85 years old and they've got 15 minutes to enjoy it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I reckon that's right.
Because you want to share it with your family.
Yeah, you want to share it with your family and get the, you know, I don't know, does anything come with the Hall of Fame? Do you get tickets to the footy or anything
I'm sure
like
you
that?
Probably
get
it.
How many more could you need? 300 club, 400 club,
life members at the game.
You're going to have a whole bay at the MCG soon.
I don't want any. That was just a general question. yeah, Rammer. I don't need any more tickets to the football, that's for sure. But no, I really do agree with that. I like that. Yeah.
Well, it's not going to happen this year.
I'll let you know in a couple of
months. Because you'll go in.
Next month, anyway.
Because you'll go in straight away, so it's not going to happen. But we'll celebrate you when that happens, Boomer. We will celebrate you. Hey, we were talking before, and we're going to talk about Friday night footy before 8 o'clock. We're talking before about Jaden Stevenson, Boomer, who's a big recruit for the Kangas a couple of years ago and has been left out of the team this weekend against the D's at Marvel Stadium tomorrow at 4:35. Check your local guides. How do we get him? How do we fire him up? What's the key? Have we got? Well, obviously we haven't found it yet. But what is the key to this young fella? Because he's got immense talent.
He has, and his footy hasn't been great. And he's first to admit that. He's a very, very honest guy. I do a little bit of work with him during the week, just on some fitness stuff and a few other little things. And he's the first to put his hand up and say he hasn't been playing great. So does he deserve his spot in the team? Probably not.
Yep.
He knows that, so he needs to go back. And I think these players that get dropped from the AFL team need to go back to the reserve. What do they call it now? The development, is it? Do they call it development? What do they call it? Reserves?
VFL,
yeah. Go back to the VFL and absolutely dominate. We haven't had too many players go back and do that. Again, though, we have only had five players playing VFL in the last couple of weeks. But Steve-O needs to go back, play some really good football in the VFL, get some confidence back, Rammer, and come back in and then contribute, because we've seen his talent. His talent is super when he's up and going.
So can I ask a question on that then? Because I'm not sure, and you're the perfect man to ask about this, I'm not sure that that's used as a mechanism for confidence these days or for form, the dropping. People just keep playing.
Yeah.
You're out of form 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever it might be, and they just keep playing them, particularly young emerging players or players like Jaden's who have been through the system for a little while but haven't really cemented themselves as stars of the comp.
Undeserving games.
Yeah, like... And in my day, your day, you'd get dropped and you'd go and get a kick, feel good about yourself and come back when you're ready.
Yep.
It doesn't seem to happen anymore. Is that fair?
No, there is different circumstances. Like at North Melbourne right now, I won't lie to you, if he goes out, we haven't got too many. We had five last week. We might even only have four playing in the VFL this week.
Sure,
right. So if Jaden Stevenson goes out, who actually comes in? It's got to be positional. Like we can't bring a tall guy in. Can't bring a Matty McGinnis in, who's sitting in the VFL at the minute.
Yep.
So it's got to be positional as well. So sometimes you do get given games when you don't deserve them, no doubt. But I do agree with you. I think the way the coaches look at it and football clubs look at it, rightio, this guy's had 25 games. Even though he's not really deserving of a spot or playing super well, we've got to get him to 45 games because that's when they start playing some really good football. I don't like it. Because I'm under the old banner as well.
Bad habits.
Yeah.
Part about that is that you want Jaden to go back and do certain things at the lower level, but it's going to be a bit hard if there's only three AFL listed teammates. That you might get flogged because you just haven't got the players, so he's not going to be able to do what needs.
We got beaten by 107 points or whatever it was last week in the VFL. So
they're going
to have 150 more possessions with us, which means we haven't got the ball in hand, so he can't. Let's face it, like people say, we want Jaden Stevenson to do more defensive stuff, but he's an offensive player. So his skill set is offense, first of all.
He's not going to get a confidence boost.
We want him to get the ball up down the wing, take three or four bounces, have a couple of shots on goal, and it's hard to do that in the VFL when you've got three AFL-listed players.
So this is his fifth year of football. Is there also an element to this? And on Jaden is the example, unfortunately, here, but is there an element to this about standards of on-field, but standards of off-field, and how he now, being that fifth-year player, he has an influence on those younger guys. And Jaden's the example, but unfortunately, he is one of the leaders of that sort of middle tier of player.
Absolutely. What is he, 20, he's about to be 23, 24
22,
nearly?
23, yeah.
I think every player at the football club has an influence over other players. Maybe not so much the first years, but the second year is certainly at the same age bracket of the first year is coming in. So every player on the list has nearly got an influence over other people at the football club. But you're right, when you're 23, 24, you've got all these young kids coming, especially Jaden Stevenson. Like his first year of football, he won the Rising Star. Playing some really good football. Has he lived up to expectations when he's come over to the Kangas? Probably not, but it's been pretty trying as well.
The beauty of it is everybody comes to some sort of crossroad through their career at some stage.
Of course.
Now, I'm not necessarily saying this is a crossroad for Jaden, but he's got to make a decision of what he wants to be as a footballer and probably as a person. You know, getting dropped when you do come over as a high price recruit, there's embarrassment attached to that.
Yep.
So I hope he responds and reacts to it really well, because at his best he's a super talented player.
Yep.
And the Kangaroos one team is one part, but then the Kangaroo supporters, they want to see him play at his best.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The only thing I'll add to this is the hardest position to play, I believe, on the football field is the half forward role. If you're not a tall, you don't get the ball kicked to you all the time, right? Now imagine playing that right now, unfortunately, for my team, for the Kangaroos. It's hard. You're a byproduct of what happens up the field, and we're having 30 inside 50s.
Yeah.
It's bloody hard.
The opposition are averaging about 60.
They're doubling it. So yeah. It would be very, very hard playing as a half forward in today's football, and it would be extremely hard playing as a half forward, unfortunately, in the West Coast, Kangaroos, these type of teams at the minute, Essendon. So there is a little bit of that, but I'm not shying away, and Steve-O certainly wouldn't be shying away as well. He needs to lift. Well, he's been dropped, so he needs to go back and make sure he does everything right, get back in and get from those, I don't know, how many games do you reckon he's played, Steve-O?
80.
Yeah, so he's next,
close to 100
his
games,
next 50 yeah. games is super important for his career.
No doubt.
Because if he doesn't perform, you know, there's going to be ramifications for everybody.
Speaking of important games, tonight's game is a very important one, 4v5 on the ladders. We get ready to tackle round 10 action. Friday night footy is Carlton and Sydney at Marvel Stadium. What do we got for the Blues? It's Stocker and Young who come in for Williams, Nunes and Kemp at this stage. And for the Swans, Reardon comes in for Rowbottom, who's suspended, and Clark at this stage as well. Now, we saw the Blues very good against the Giants last week. Kicked away late to secure that victory. Speaking of very good, the Swans flew out of the gates against the Bombers at the SCG and were comprehensive in their performance. 4v5, Boomer, two teams on the up with some real progress. What do you make of this contest tonight?
Well, I think it's going to be a great game. Both teams in some pretty good form. They're both, in the last month, they're both in the top five for scoring, which is fantastic. So I think, Whitey, hopefully, we see a high-scoring game. And the start's super exciting, as well as the finish. The centre bounce clearances, this is where the game's won and lost for me, and they're both sitting on top for differential in the last 4 weeks.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. So okay. It's going to be fantastic. So whoever wins the ball and gets it going forward, it sounds like an easy game, but it doesn't happen like that. I mean, Cripps, Kennedy, Walsh, these type of guys, they've got so many plays that can go through there, as we've mentioned in the last previous weeks. But Sydney, if I was dissecting the game and didn't know the stats, I wouldn't have picked Sydney as a high-scoring team from the centre bounces. And Carlton, what they've done in the last month, half, is they've been the number one team in controlling the football. So they're number one in uncontested marks. So okay. For me, Sydney to deny Carlton the football in terms of uncontested marks, if they can stop those little hit-ups and just chipping the ball around, that's going to be a huge part with the centre bounces of who wins this game.
So we thought last week, Rama, that Big Harry being out might have been a problem for the Blues. They found a way to bypass that through different avenues. I think it was 10 different goal scorers last week. Yeah. Is that a model that they can consistently go to now?
Oh, they have to. They absolutely have to, because what happens now, it's similar to when Curnow was out. The best defender went to Harry Mackay, and that's the way you were able to stop Carlton. So now the best defender goes to Charlie Curnow with Mackay out. So how they share around the goals is really important. Now, the key for Carlton is continued midfield dominance. I think that's been the hallmark of their game. Scores from stoppages, the way they've been able to execute that. But what they've also been able to do is forward half pressure. So that's then creating the goal opportunities. Whereas in the past half, they weren't doing that. They just weren't creating enough turnovers in their forward half to create opportunities for those other forwards, Boomer.
So against the Kangas the other week, they got a lot of repeat 50s, and that's the way they're setting up behind the ball, but that doesn't work. If you can set up super well behind the ball, but if you haven't got that forward pressure you're talking about, Rama, it doesn't work.
No.
So they get the forward pressure, they get the set up behind the ball, the opposition hack kick it out, mark it, and they get another repeat 50. And we know the more times you go in 50, the greater chance you've got of scoring. So I think they've been more methodical in the last month of football, the way they go about their ball movement. And like you said, that Harry Mackay's not there, so they've got to be able to get the ball in a different way.
So, Whitey, tonight, if you're John Longmire with Cal Mills, is he going around with Paddy Cripps or is he going around with Sam Walsh? Who's he going Cripps. Around with tonight?
He'll take Cripps at the stoppage. That's what he's doing yeah. most weeks at the moment to the stoppage mm. expert of the opposition. We actually talked about this with Mick McGowan yesterday as to whether the time is now to bring Josh Kennedy back into the midfield mix inside the contest. He's been playing wing, yeah. half-back. Is that going to be something he's going to do all year or is he being preserved for the second half of the year? So I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think for me, Sydney play this ground very well. And they're going to have ruck dominance, I think, with Hickey and Laddams up against De Koning. And I think if you look at Sydney's forward line Savani. Up against... Well, Savani, yeah, but he's... yeah. Savani's a good player, by the way, but yeah. Him
dominant,
and Shingard as the ruck. Yeah, that's right. But if you look at Sydney's forward line against Carlton's defence, which is inexperienced, they're missing probably three or four of their best defenders, maybe. But just if you look at the matchups, Sydney have got players that can mark the ball above their head inside 50, and I think it's a night for Heaney. I think it's a night that potentially Franklin has a big one. I think it's a night potentially, say, someone like a Haywood, a creative forward. I that's where I see Sydney winning the game with their precise ball movement.
I think Sydney's smalls. Might trouble the Blues.
Inside 50?
Yeah.
But just the way they move the ball, getting isolation or one-on-ones, the way they can.
You look at Saad, and I'm certainly not knocking anybody here because Carlton are flying at the minute, but Saad... Saad, no, I'm not. He's playing in defence, but he's more of an offence to him. Doherty, he's starting to add that offence. But he defends a little bit better. He defends really well. Williams has gone out, obviously. But I think that they're smalls. Your Papley's, these type of guys. Mm. Heaney plays both. He plays a bit of small and tall. I think the Sydney smalls can do a little bit of damage to the Blues. I tend to agree with your comment, but I'd go smalls rather than talls.
This is the game for the Blues half. Friday night, big stage.
Agreed.
I think all watching... This is the test.
For
Carlton.
For Carlton.
Yeah, I think it's their biggest test of the year, really.
Look, Sydney won last week against Witches Hats in the end, but their form prior to that wasn't great. So I'm sticking with Carlton.
So last time they had that test half was against the Bulldogs, you know, earlier in the year, and they really stood up and they was like, oh, okay, maybe they're better than we all thought. And then they've had a couple of other tests, the Fremantle game where they came up short. But again, this is back at home, as Rama said, Friday night footy against another team that wants a top four spot. We'll find out a bit about Carlton tonight.
I agree. I'm going to the Blues.
We've bought shares in both these teams.
Yeah, that's right.
Emotionally in this studio.
It's a good one to watch tonight.
I'm with you. I think the Blues, I'm a believer. I think their system and their setup is going to stand the test of time. I think it's a really good platform to build from. They've shown the capacity to turn games on their head within 10 minutes. They've controlled games early. I think all players are playing terrific roles. Sydney, we love. Midfield, last week.
Midfield's key. But Carlton look better.
I'm on the Blues. I'm on the Blues. You're on the Blues. Boomer, you're on the Swans.
I think I am just. I think Eddie Hatt or Marvel probably suit Carlton the way they're playing that uncontested hit up. But I think Sydney, I think their smalls can do a little bit of damage up forward. So I'll go with the Swans.
And White is on the Swans as well. So we're 2-2.
But I still rate Carlton highly. I think they are a team that are going to be a very good team this year. And what they've done, what Michael Voss has done, the list management, but I just think I don't think they're a good matchup, Sydney for Carlton, and with the players that are missing, I think that sort of makes it a bit easier for the Swans.
2-2 split for Friday night footy to start round 10. Let's have a look at the game tomorrow at GMHBA Stadium, if you don't mind. I'm keen to get your take on this. Now, the market's fairly in favour of the home team at the tab, $1.45. 1.45 is the time of the bounce. Buse and Rowan comes in for his first game this year. Gary Rowan, the forgotten man of the Cats. Myers, Nevitt, Matty Nevitt, and Stevens on the outski there for them. And for Port Adelaide, Dumont and Jonas comes in for Frederick Fantasia and Dersma, all omitted.
So does that mean that Dangerfield has been named?
Dangerfield has been named at this stage.
The talk all week has been that he wouldn't play.
But he has been named. Interestingly, he's been named as an interchange player, which is often the giveaway. I don't know why they do that. But it is back at GMHBA Stadium. Last time these two teams met was in the qualifying final at the Adelaide Oval, where the Power smacked them, which was 43 points, I think the margin was, last time around. Boomer, the Cats at home are always a challenge. Port Adelaide have won four in a row. They're now, after being zipping five, they're 4-5 and charging a little bit. What's going to happen?
I don't know what's going to happen because my tips are not going so great this year. So whoever I tip, everybody tip against me. But you've seen Port firsthand last week against the Kangas up in Tassie, and they're back. Oh, I didn't realise Alir was so important to them with their setup down back. He rolls back and he plays it's actually going to be interesting because he plays a very similar role to Tom Stewart.
Yep.
Where he gets back, he's the last man, the goalkeeper, the general, whatever you want to call him, and sets everything up and intercept mark. That's what he does, and he had abundance of them last week. They also did something a little bit interesting last week, Rama, where Ollie Wines was starting forward, Marshall was in the ruck, and Wines became the ruckman, and Marshall went forward. I didn't mind it. It gives Port an extra midfielder around the ground. He's such a big sort of guy. He can take the boundary throw-ins. I think he might have even got one where he nominated and tricked the Kangas and got a free kick out of it. So they're starting to play some little tricks. Interesting, Dersma. He wasn't fantastic last week, but interesting to see he's out of the team. Now they have got some flexibility on who they bring in and out of the team. But they're good players. Are still very good. Wines, Boke, these guys are so important to him. But again, I'll go back to Alir. If Alir can intercept mark and play well and start their drive from the half back, Port will go okay.
So St Kilda got the game back on terms last week against the Cats by smacking them around the ball.
What they kick? How many in a row did they kick there?
And speed.
Yeah.
So smacked around the ball, then were out and away.
Because the first bit of that game was how far the Cats in the first quarter, how far. And then St Kilda got their groove back and they smacked them. So to Port Adelaide have those weapons to play against the Cats, albeit down there at GMHBA where it's a bit more challenging to do anything against the Cats?
Well, it depends how prepared they are to bring Rosie, Butters and the like.
He's made a big difference, Rosie, going to the midfield.
Yeah, he has, because it's an element of surprise.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's not a surprise now because he's done it now for a month, but he is a surprising player because of how he plays.
Yeah, because one, he can get the ball and step and dance and all that, but then
he's a line breaker.
Yeah, but then he can become the first receiver. And if he becomes the first receiver, that's where the issue lies for clubs because he's away. He's out. And that then goes, if you win from stoppage, you're generally going into a forward line that's mostly one-on-one. Like, because a lot of clubs now will bring an extra player up to the ball, so your player follows up. So it's sort of 5-on-5, 4-on-4 most times when you're going into your forward line.
The other thing that they do, So Rosie and Butters, these type of guys, they've got the ability, Rama, to go up to the stoppage and call out the extra midfielder. And if the opposition drop off, they've got the actual speed to get, if Port win the stoppage, high ball in, they've actually got the speed to get back in and even up the numbers, which not a lot of teams have got that. So normally a half forward will go up. If they can't get back in, you're one short. Mm. If you do that against Geelong, we know their strengths. It's mopping the ball up with Stewart and these type of guys and rebounding from there. But they've got the ability to get back in and challenge them.
So the beauty of the way Port Adelaide are playing at the moment, there's now the combination of forwards, Marshall, Georgiades and Finlayson. So they've worked out how to coexist. Charlie Dixon's going to come back. Ken will play him because Ken likes that long down the line target or long inside forward.
So it's like they're holding him back a bit at the moment because they are winning and they're giving
they want to get
the foundation
super fit.
In the twos.
And they had a bye last week, I think, the Port Sandford team, so probably didn't want to bring him in on the back of no game.
The reality is we're going to find out if Port's form is real or not in this game. And then we're going to also find out. So Geelong play two of their next three at Cadinia Park, then they've got a bye. So they go, I think, Adelaide next week, and then they play the Western Bulldogs the following week, and then it's a bye. So they would want to pencil in two of these three games, particularly the ones at Cadinia Park. So then I think they'll turn, what's that? That'll be 7-5, I think, at their bye.
It's a good point because they played West Coast 4 weeks ago. Then they played St Kilda, but it was up in Kazali Stadium, of course. That's a completely different game, getting over the line by 1 point. Bulldogs, who are very unpredictable this year, and then they played the Kangas. So they haven't played a hell of a lot in the last 4 weeks. They have won four in a row. You can only win against the opposition half. But,
And before that, they only just lost to Carlton when they had that good second half.
Yeah.
I still think we're seeing the evolution of Geelong changing and how they want to play. You know, there's always resistance, isn't there, Huff? If a team that's played a certain style for so long, there's always going to be some form of resistance. So you see it at times working, and you're like, wow, we should continue to do this. Yeah. Then you see it at times on Saturday night last week where it didn't work, and you see the resistance, and that's why St Kilda probably get them in the end. So, again, Cadinia Park's the formations of the ground and how it is. They've always played that ground well, with Stewart being the anchor point of their defence. I still want to see. I want to see this speed still. I'm going down there tomorrow, so I just want. I want to see this speed on the game for Geelong. So we'll see if they can maintain it for longer.
Yep. Well, they had moments last week where they were scintillating.
Yeah.
It was so sexy. Yeah, it wasn't funny. It was sexy.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, if this happened a bit more, then they could cause all sorts of damage. But they don't do it for long enough, or want seemingly have the capacity to do it for long enough. Talk about Tom Stewart.
Is it want or capacity, half?
I don't know. I don't know. But observation-wise, I would suggest that they don't fully believe in it just yet.
The other real concern tomorrow for Port Adelaide will be Tom Hawkins. There's not a natural matchup for Tom Hawkins. Like, they've tried Trent McKenzie on him for a number of times. He's not playing tomorrow, but I don't think they'll want to have
still
a Lear.
A bizarre matchup.
Yeah, they won't want to have a Lear on him. I think they'll prefer a Lear on Jeremy Cameron. Yeah,
Cleary.
Just not big enough. Yeah. Not big enough for Hawkins.
There's no one in the league big enough, is there?
Well, this is why Lear's got to roll back in, if they can do that. Which, the problem with Lear rolling back in and playing that role is it means Stewart's going to be doing the same thing the other end. And correct. I think that plays into the hands of the Cats. Yeah. I'll be tipping the Cats in this one. Anyone going against me?
No, you just jog along at home.
Yeah. Home ground advantage. Kidinia Park.
Right. Let's have a look at the game at Mars Stadium tomorrow. I'm keen to find out more about this from your take. It's 9v12. We know the Gold Coast are at a different conveyance. They've won after Easter a few times, and their draw coming up to the bye is very, very friendly. They've got to travel to Mars Stadium. It's going to be cool there. The Bulldogs lost last game there by a point to Adelaide. Tim O'Brien comes back in. Taylor Jarais Crook. Smith goes out as well. Adam Treloar plays game number 200. And McPherson comes into the... goes out of the squad for the Gold Coast Suns. So, relatively unchanged lineup for the Gold Coast Suns. Boomer, on the Gold Coast Suns, just straight up, what's different about them this year? Because they have put up a really strong campaign to date, considering what they've been able to do in the previous generations.
I think they've bounced back really well with King going out injured, Chole coming in and being able to kick multiple goals.
Yeah. Chole and Casbolt have kicked the fourth most goals for as a duo. Forward in the Gold Coast.
It's been fantastic. Now, we know Casbolt's not the best kick in the competition, but, gee, he can pluck a mark, and he plucks them close to goal. So, well, they're the ones he misses, unfortunately. But Chole's been fantastic because he's actually so good and agile on the ground for a big guy that they've got a different avenue now. I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Gold Coast Suns. They've always troubled teams when they play that quick brand of football. And I think with... The quicker guys around the football now, that they're certainly doing that. I mean, Anderson's having a decent year again. Rankin, we know what he's capable of.
He's different.
Yeah, who, Rankin?
Yep.
He's
very different. Dropped for Isaac Rankin
the last couple of weeks. So he was really quiet before.
He's different gravy.
He's a bit of a barometer for them.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think you're going to see that throughout his career. Having a little bit of work with the Australian Academy with him, he's going to be very good, but you're going to have days where you're going to have to cop 5 and 6 possessions, no shots on goal. His pressure's always been really good, but I think you have to ride the wave with Isaac Rankin through his career until he gets a little bit more consistent. But I'm liking, you're right, the last fortnight's been really impressive from him.
I think it's a bit of the old sort of coach's adage, harder for longer with the Gold Coast.
Yep.
That's what they're doing now. They're in games longer. And I say that because you got Matt Rowell, who loves a contest. You've got Noah Anderson now, who's playing more regularly up around the football and winning the football. Tuk Miller, we know, he's a star of the competition at the moment. Then Fiorini's another one. So the heat around the contest is consistent and constant throughout a game. So I think that's where they've been able to get over Sydney, get over Fremantle, because they conceded 66 inside 50s last week against Fremantle, but were able to absorb that.
The one player that I reckon holds the key to this match above any other player on the field is Jared Witts.
Yeah.
So he's been fantastic for the Suns this year. Obviously, he missed most of last year with that ACL.
Because he bullies the other ruckman.
And up against the Dogs, who don't have that legitimate, seasoned experience
Jordan,
ruckman, this
Jordan
is their
Sweet.
Yeah, this, is,
Sugar
this is their chance, the
Gary.
Suns. because let's be honest, Witts beat Darcy last week, which is a big effort. So this is going to be easier for Jared Witts. So considering that their midfield is in form, we talk often about the territory battle and forward half game, whatever else. The Suns are going to worry the Dogs in this match. I'm not sure whether I'm brave enough to quite tip them, but considering Gold Coast has beaten, as Half's mentioned a few times this week, this year they've beaten Carlton, Sydney and Freo. That they are legitimate victories.
It's a really good point because opposition can shark the opposition. So yeah. Witz is probably going to get the over young Gary Sweet. He'll get the he'll get the advantage. But the players around him, like Rao, Anderson, and Miller, like they're actually they're genuine bulls at the
Fiorini's another.
Yeah,
one that
they're good
well.
In close. So if they can get the tendency to win those stoppages and more importantly centre bounce clearances, that's going to be a huge impact on who wins this game for me.
If the Bulldogs match the Suns on the inside, they'll win the outside quite comfortably, and that's why I'm tipping the Bulldogs.
You're on the Dogs, Boomer?
Oh, sunny Ballarat's quite different to the Gold Coast, Whitey. That's probably
Matt Rowell said to us, Suns won there last year.
Okay, well, I'm going to
get the Giants.
I'm going to go. Oh, was it? I thought it was against the Bulldogs. I was going to go with the Gold Coast Suns after Matty Rowell said that, but I'm going to go with the Bulldogs.
Whitey?
I'm going to be a coward and pick the Bulldogs.
You are a coward. I'm going to the Gold Coast Suns. Well, they're playing difficult conditions up at Metricon Stadium. Ball's always slippery and yuck, and it's hard. You've got to have the territory win, which you talked about. They can do that in a challenging condition, I think, with the breeze and the conditions tomorrow at Ballarat. I'm on the Suns. There you go. You're all cowards.
If you want to have a bet in this game, the Suns at the line, at least, is definitely worth a little bit of a play.
I reckon it is.